God is good. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Indeed. The Lord our healer is the title of the sermon this morning. And I just want to say as I begin that very recently, Friday even, I went for a walk, similarly sunny time like this, with Ben, and I was sharing some of my struggles and issues and even traumatic stuff that's happened to me and for which I need the Lord our healer, healing. And it was good to have Ben stand with me in the street and put a hand on my shoulder and pray for me. That was good for my soul. It's good for us in the church to be able to, as it were, reach out and say, I need help. I need prayer. And we can minister the Lord's help to one another as we put a hand on the shoulder or pray down the phone or pray after the service. It's the kind of body we are, body of Christ. So I'm just going to add my prayer to Ben's. I'm going to pray. I've written out a prayer here. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, be pleased to grant gifts of healings today through your Holy Spirit as your word is preached in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross for us and disarming the power of Satan over us. You bring us to the Father in the one Spirit, for which we are eternally thankful. Almighty God, glorify yourself among us. Bear witness to yourself today. You are God. There is no other. You alone can save, heal, deliver, cleanse, restore, strengthen, raise up. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's a topical sermon today. I'm going to have you look up three Bible passages as we go, so be prepared. I've got page numbers at the ready. And as we begin, I just want to say three things. First up, the new heavens and the new earth to which we are all headed if we are trusting in Jesus here today is both a physical reality and a spiritual reality. Okay? Or we could say, the gospel, the good news, has its impact both spiritually in the forgiveness of sins and physically in the resurrection of the body. So when speaking to the paralytic, for example, whose friends made a hole in the roof to get their friend to Jesus, because the room was too crowded and they couldn't get in by conventional means, Jesus says to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. A physical healing took place that day. A paralytic got up, took his bed and walked. But very significantly, a spiritual healing took place that day as well. Son, your sins are forgiven. So that's the first introductory idea, that the gospel of Jesus Christ has its impact both spiritually in the forgiveness of sins and physically in the resurrection of the body. Second introductory idea, and for this one I'm indebted to a man called Andrew Wilson, whose thoughts I've been enjoying on the subject of healing. God can heal. God will heal. And if he doesn't heal here today, we still believe the gospel. If we are trusting Jesus, we are still headed to that spiritual and physical reality of the new heavens and the new earth. Hallelujah. Our confident faith in God to heal among us here today needs to rise, but biblically, responsibly. God can and will heal here today. But if you do not get healed here today, it must not shake your confidence in the good news. Let me show you what I mean. Come with me to Babylon 600 years before Jesus was born to Mary. Page 740 in the Black Bibles, Daniel chapter 3, page 740. And we're on this second introductory idea that God can and will heal, but if not, it doesn't and mustn't shake our confidence in the good news, our faith. Look at verse 13 there, top left-hand side of page 740. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar is king of Babylon. Think angry dictator of a superpower empire. Yikes. And he's furious because those three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, would not bow down to worship the image, the golden image of himself that he had made. As if the golden image were some god. Man makes God in his own image. Nebuchadnezzar is having a royal tantrum. In verse 15, the three men get their last chance to do as they're told and worship the golden image. Will they do it? Will they do it? I can't hear you. Will they do it? No, they will not. They're about to get burnt to a crisp in a fiery hot furnace. Nebuchadnezzar assures them that no God can possibly deliver them from this fate. But in verses 16 to 18, they demonstrate something for us called faith. And it is fantastic. Let's read verses 16 to 18. I will intersperse the reading with a couple of comments, but here we go. Verse 16. O Nebuchadnezzar, they exhibit all due respect. Faith doesn't need to insult the enemy. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, that is, if you will indeed chuck us in the fire, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Okay, so you got that? Faith equals confidence that God can deliver. And it goes on. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. So you got that? So faith equals confidence that God will do it. Read on. But if not, and this is so important, true faith believes even through apparent failure. If not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. We will not give up our gospel confidence, our trustful dependence on God to get us through. Ultimately, the new creation. We're going there. Now, we know that they actually do survive the furnace. If you've read the book of Daniel or heard children's stories from the Bible, based on the Bible, as a nipper. We know that a fourth man appears with them in the furnace, in all likelihood an appearing of God himself in human form. And we know that Nebuchadnezzar is dumbfounded. And he ends up saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own." It's awesome. It's faith vindicated. But let their trust, their faith, be our model here today. We trust that God can heal. We trust that God will heal. That's where we struggle. You, me, both. And we trust in him even if today he doesn't heal. Why? Because we believe the good news. And the good news is that sooner or later, your healing is guaranteed. It's not a question of whether you will be healed, but when. So even if you're not healed today, keep trusting in the hope held out in the gospel, the good news. Third thing I want to say, this topic of healing is a Trinitarian topic, okay? When I put Trinitarian in my Word document, it came out Trinidadian. It's not a Trinidadian topic only. I mean, it's relevant there too, but Trinitarian topic, where God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit all feature, okay? Because God is three in one. Now we're going to move on to our first major point, looking at God the Son. Jesus heals you. Jesus heals you. In a sense, we don't have to have a healing service as such today. We just need to preach the good news. And I aim to show you why. The good news is this. Come with me to page 919 in your Bibles. Acts chapter 10. And we're looking at verse 38. And the context here is that Peter, the Jew, the Jewish apostle, sent by Jesus to announce the good news everywhere, starting from Jerusalem and out from there, he has been led by God to meet Cornelius, the Gentile, the non-Jew, like many of us. Peter is realizing that God desires not only to save Jews, but Gentiles also. So Peter, in verse 34, he starts summarizing what he's been learning about God and the gospel. And I love the bit in brackets in verse 36. Jesus is Lord of all. Then in verse 38, he gets to the heart of it when talking about Jesus' work on earth. Listen to what he says in verse 38. Just look at it there. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So I announce the good news of Acts 10:38. I announce that Jesus heals you from the oppression of the devil. Jesus heals you from the oppression of the devil. And the following verses in Acts 10 vindicate that message. You know, Jesus was hung on a tree. It looked like it was all over. Looked like perhaps Jesus had suffered himself under the oppression of the devil, was in the tomb. But God, verse 40, raised him on the third day. Now, the devil wants to keep us from believing that message. He wants us to remain bound in sin and sickness of mind and body. But he can't. Jesus is the judge, not Satan. And if we believe in Jesus, we receive forgiveness of sins through his name, verse 42 of Acts 10. Satan's got nothing more to say. So don't let him dictate. The furious dictator says, "You bow to my image or you're toast." The sophisticated teacher or professor says, "Now, of course, the very notion of a creator God who works wonders is utterly preposterous." Puh. And the well-intentioned Christian brother or sister may say, "God won't heal you. That age has passed. Jesus is in heaven. The apostles are all dead. It's over." But don't let the devil dictate. Jesus heals you from the oppression of the devil. In the same way that you can be forgiven today, all your sins, past, present, and future, forgiven through the name of Jesus, so can you, even if you've been bent double for 18 years, be straightened out. You can. God still does heal. Remember Jesus' words, "Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" Whatever it looks like, the ministry of Jesus as he brings the reign of God to bear on the situation ends the dominion of Satan. The fire didn't hurt Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The fire was real. The prospect was awful. But the flame didn't set them ablaze. Christians survive professors who are vehemently opposed, who set out to ridicule their Christianity. In fact, some of the best Bible teachers in the world have had their gifting honed precisely in hostile settings as they've been delivered by Jesus from the evil one who wanted to accuse them, ridicule their faith, and see them ditch it once and for all. And the same goes for healing. In fact, the word often used for healing in the Gospels is the very word used to speak of salvation, that umbrella term that Steve was talking about. Sozo, your faith has healed you, or your faith has saved you. And the name Jesus means Yahweh saves, God saves. In fact, one of the names of God featured in the famous account of God's saving of his people, Israel, from slavery in Egypt. One of the names used of God in that account is Yahweh, or the Lord, your healer. And that's my second point. Jesus heals you, first point. Second point, Yahweh is your healer. Yahweh, your healer. And it's significant that right after the people of Israel crossed the Red Sea, after being saved from slavery in Egypt under Pharaoh, which is figurative of slavery in sin under Satan, right after the people crossed the Red Sea, they celebrate, then they go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and grumble. They find some water, but it's bitter, like life when you're sick. Moses cries to the Lord. The Lord shows him a log. He tosses the log into the water, and the water becomes sweet, drinkable. And so God says this in Exodus 15:26. You needn't turn to it. Exodus 15:26. if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord, that is Yahweh, your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am Yahweh, your healer. Hallelujah. The simple question. Do you believe that Yahweh is your healer and that he is able to heal? I have a sister who's been sick for 13 years. She is not getting better. She's getting worse. Okay? But she's trusting in Jesus. And I'm so looking forward to being gathered with her and all of the saints, past, present, future, around the throne of the Lamb, whole, praising Jesus forever. Nonetheless, I still believe, and I must believe, that Yahweh is our healer. It's clear, isn't it, that there's a line of continuity through God's revelation of himself as Savior healer in the Exodus history. There's a line of continuity from there through to Jesus, the Savior healer in the Gospels. Of course there is. It's the one true God we're dealing with in both instances. He is Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. He does not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here's the thing. We are the body of that same Jesus who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The unchanging Christ. That line of continuity continues into the age of the church, the body of Christ. Wowzers. We can't hold God to ransom here today and say, we're not leaving here until you've healed someone. But at the same time, he does indwell us. He is with us today in all his saving and healing power by his Spirit, who gives gifts of healings for the common good. I'll say that again. We can't hold God to ransom this morning and say we're not leaving here until you've healed someone. But at the same time, he does indwell us and he is with us here today in all his saving and healing power by his Spirit, who gives gifts of healings for the common good. The Spirit gives healing. Third point. Jesus heals you from the oppression of the devil. Yahweh is your healer. And third, the Spirit gives healing to the church. You know, we, the church, are the embodiment of the ongoing saving ministry of Jesus in the world by his Spirit. That's who we are. We are the embodiment of the ongoing saving ministry of Jesus in the world by his Spirit. Does our faith not need to rise? We read of gifts of healings in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9. It's on page 959. And as you find that page, just think. The God who is three persons in one God, he comes and lives in us and is with us here and is pleased to use us to carry out his work. We can bless one another in the Spirit because Jesus beat the devil. Jesus is Lord of all. And Jesus is here. Yahweh saves is here by his Spirit and he is Yahweh, your healer. And the Spirit who fell at Pentecost goes on giving and giving and giving. I'll take it from verse 7 in 1 Corinthians 12. Page 959. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Please note, it is not so that the one who has been given the manifestation can boast about his or her spiritual prowess. It's for the common good. The Spirit manifests himself in us so we can lovingly bless one another to the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a thing of beauty. For to one, continuing, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. Jesus is our wisdom. And to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. That is, to discern simply and plainly, is Christ being exalted here or not? If you have that gift, put it into practice today. If the Spirit manifests himself in giving a gift to you today, it's not for your glory. It's for Christ's glory. We are to be busy in the Christ-exalting, Spirit, exalting Christ. In our speaking, in our thinking, in our doing. Not just as a leadership here at North Bradley, but as a gathering of believers as a whole. Verse 10, continuing that reading. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And so on. Verse 11 clearly states that the Spirit does the empowering, and it is he who apportions gifts as he wills. So corporately, we simply want to, do we not, take God at his word in an appropriate way. And what might be an appropriate way to do that now? I mean, I'm going to read out a prayer. I'm going to read out a prayer, then I'm going to say a few more words, and then I'm going to pray that prayer that I'm about to read out and invite you to join me if you agree with the prayer. Okay? Prayer is this. Holy Spirit, come now and give gifts of healings to us today. Cause our faith to rise. Help us discern your work in us, whether we are praying or being prayed for. Pour out the gift of faith today. Faith to pray for those you will appoint to pray. Faith in your power to heal for those who are unwell in mind or body. And we want, as it were, to sing, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. Praise him with hallelujahs, for Jesus is Lord. Bear witness, O God, as you work among us and through us by your good Spirit. Bear witness to the Lordship of Christ, who is the very expression of the fact that you save. You heal, you ransom, you restore. Lord Jesus, we are looking to you to be at work here today as you save and heal. Amen. If you've sought healing or deliverance at any point in your life without seeking the forgiveness of your sins in Christ, then even if you've been healed, you're not ready to meet God because you can't stand before him in Jesus' righteousness until you've had your sins forgiven. And the only way to stand before him is in Jesus' righteousness, purchased for you on the cross. Remember, healing and the forgiveness of sins go together. On the other hand, if you've sought the forgiveness of sins but have never believed that God could heal you physically, I just want you to think, well, why? Salvation is not just a spiritual thing. The body is of value. Are you afraid of being ignored by God and that your prayers won't be answered? God answers prayer. He is your healer. Sometimes the answer isn't what we want to hear, perhaps because our hearts are out of line with his will. Sometimes his answer is, no, I'm going to use you in your suffering to glorify me, to glorify the Lord Jesus. But know this, God is able to heal. God will heal. And even if he doesn't, ultimately you will receive a redemption body in the resurrection from the dead. Jesus took all your sin and all your disease on himself. And as sure as God raised him up, he will raise you up also. Jesus knows your suffering. He is with you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For, says Isaiah in chapter 43, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So I'm going to return to that prayer now and pray it just to close and then invite Ben to come up. So Holy Spirit, come now and give gifts of healings to us today. Cause our faith to rise. Help us discern your work in us, whether we are praying or being prayed for. Pour out the gift of faith today, faith to pray for those you will appoint to pray. Faith in your power to heal for those who are unwell in mind or body. And we want to sing, as it were, in our hearts, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Praise him with hallelujahs, for Jesus is Lord. And please bear witness, O God, to the Lordship of Christ as you work among us and through us by your good Spirit. Christ, who is the very expression of the fact that you save, you heal, you ransom, you restore. Lord Jesus, we are looking to you to be at work here today as you save and heal. Amen.